welcome to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, May 11th, 2014. The Reverend John Reed is preaching. Today's sermon is Justice, Mercy, and Noah, a Flood of Justice. Our Old Testament reading for today is Genesis chapter 7, verses 1 through 12, and verses 21 through 24.
That happened before history was recorded, and it's wrestling with some of the deep questions that we've got. You know, who are we? Who is God? What is God like? Why is there evil and corruption? Why is there war? What is happening? It's dealing with all of these things. And so we see that and remember that as we go through. And so our second passage that we've got of reading comes from Noah, and it's the seventh chapter. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you alone are righteous before me in this generation. Take with you seven pairs of all clean animals, the male and its mate, and a pair of the animals that are not clean, the male and its mate, and the seven pairs of the birds of the air also, male and female, to keep their kind alive on the face of the earth. For in 7 days I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. And every living thing that I have made I will blot out from the face of the ground." And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came on the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Of clean animals and of animals that are not clean, and of birds and of everything that creeps on the ground, two and two, male and female, went into the ark, and Noah, as God had commanded Noah. And after seven days, the waters of the flood came on the earth in the 600th year of Noah's life. In the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened. The rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, domestic animals, wild animals, all swarming creatures that swarm in the earth, and all human beings and everything on dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. He blotted out everything that was on the face of the ground, human beings and animals and creeping things and birds of the air. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those that were with him in the ark. And the waters swelled on the earth for 150 days. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we gather here today to wrestle with some very deep questions, to explore your word. We come here today to worship you and to give you honor. Be with us now as we wrestle with your word, that the meditations of our hearts, the words of this mouth, be pleasing and acceptable to thee, O Lord, our rock, our strength, our redeemer. Amen. I have had a great temptation to just simply redo Bill Cosby's Noah routine. Those of you who know Bill Cosby, he had a wonderful comedy routine where Noah's out working in his yard and he's sawing away and Noah going through. And just hilarious. God initially in Bill Cosby's routine, God says, "I make it rain for 150 days. And Noah says, why that long? Just let it rain 40 days and 40 nights, let the sewers back up. Everyone will, to go through, that'll destroy everything." But it just goes through it. It's just a wonderful, wonderful comedy series. But it's very different with this. Because what Bill Cosby did, as funny as it is, it's what we all do. We sanitize the stories of the Bible to make them less disturbing, to make them more comfortable, to make them cute, to make them funny at times. So we've done with Noah's story, too, with children. They have toy arcs. We've got books and pictures of the little small arcs with these cutesy little animals that go through. But this story, as I had mentioned earlier, is so much more than that. And we wrestle with this. And we realize, as I mentioned last week, that every culture in the world, every ancient culture in the world has a story about a flood, has a story about a catastrophic things taking place where people were destroyed. And in our scripture passages today, we are reading, and you heard over and over, that God saw the world and it was corrupt. In the first reading, I think it was like 3 or 4 times the word corrupt or corruption was used. Violence is used over and over, how corrupt and violent the world was. And in this passage, God talking about how he's going to destroy life as we go through. And that doesn't really fit with the picture of God that we like to think of, the God of a loving God, a caring God. And part of what we have to understand is what this story is really all about and what's happening and what God's trying to accomplish. As we pick up and see from those first scripture reading about how that the corruption, the violence that we go through, this story is a recognition that this world is marred with things. And we just have to look around ourselves to see it. I mean, this past week, the news has been flooded with the 200 and some odd teenage girls in Nigeria that were kidnapped by a radical Islamic group. And the intent that they did in kidnapping them is going to sell them into slavery. I mean, we just look around and see what's happened in Russia. We look at our own country and we see where there is hatred. We see where there is violence that take place. You just look around and you see that there's corruption, there's violence everywhere. And as I mentioned last week, what do we do with this? What happens with all of these things? And what's this story about? Is it that God is just so angry and wrathful that he's just going to wipe things out? We read in the story that God said he was sorry for what had happened. And I'm thinking about a parent that I counseled when I was in San Jose that had a son that had made some very poor decisions in his life. And the family had alienated him, hadn't disowned him, but they had not anything to do with him because he had gotten involved with drugs, with addictions, got involved with gangs. And the mother was talking with her, and she was just weeping. She was saying, I'm so sorry he was born. I'm so sorry he was born. And what she was speaking is, she really wasn't, but she was speaking of the pain and the hurt that she was feeling. And anybody who has had children or close friends that have made bad decisions, we can maybe perhaps resonate with that, because it's so painful to see them make those horrible decisions. As the mother worked through this and things went out, this ends up with a good story, that the son was able to get help, go through, and his relationship with his parents was restored. But again, I just can't ever forget the pain that she was saying, that I wish she had never been born. And the pain that God must have felt looking down at this creation that was good in Genesis 1, how it was good, and then looking down and seeing the corruption, the violence that was there, and how painful it must have been for God. In the study series we go through, the Bible study calls this flood a flood of justice. And I think that ties in with this, because I want to ask you, what is justice? When we think of justice, are we thinking of justice? Are we thinking of revenge? Are we thinking of, what are we doing? What's it about? I suggest to you that the true meaning of justice is to make things right, is to restore things to the way they were supposed to be, the way they were intended to be. And sometimes that means more than just looking at a situation, looking at what happened, but it's looking at some of the reasons why it happened and what can we do. As I was going through getting ready for the sermon this week, I was looking for different stories about justice online, and there's a story I ran across on the internet. It's not an ancient Grecian story, but it's set as an ancient Grecian philosopher is walking down a path. And he's walking down the path, and as he's looking, he sees these two giant women coming forward. And he realizes these have to be gods or goddesses that are coming forward. And he's wondering what they're doing on the earth. And so he hides behind a tree, and he's hiding behind a tree. He sees two young men running up, and one is blood all down his face. He's holding the side of his face, and he's crying, and he's screaming, and he's ranting. And another one running up right behind him with a bloody sword that's there. And the two boys run up to the two goddesses. And the first one that had the ear that had been cut off says, I demand justice, I demand justice, I demand justice. Which of you will give me justice? And one of the goddesses says, well, you need to decide which one. Pick which one and we will mete out the justice. And it will be different as to which one you pick. And he goes, well, what would you do? And the first one, she says, well, what I would do is I would first of all find out, why did your brother cut your ear off? What happened? What took place? What was going on? Regardless of that, he does deserve some kind of punishment. So he would suffer imprisonment for a year, and then I would charge him to protecting your life and especially your other ear for the rest of his life. That as you go into battle or other places, he will be at your side to protect you and to care for you as you grow together. And he turns to the other one and says, what would you do? And the second goddess says, well, this is all wrong. So first of all, he will be beaten and he'll be scourged. and they'll be imprisoned for 10 to 15 years. And here, you take his sword, and you decide whether you want to cut off just one of his ears or both of his ears. And the older brother who had had the ear cut off takes the sword, and he says, I'm going to pick you. And he goes and he cuts, not all the way off, but he cuts his younger brother's ear and goes off satisfied because his brother's going to be beaten and thrown in jail for the rest of his life. And as the boys leave, the second goddess takes off a disguise, and it's Ares, the god of war. And he says, I'm going to go get all my stuff ready because there's going to be a war between brother against brother pretty soon. Because he was just thinking about revenge. The first goddess was thinking more about the future and what can be done to repair a relationship. Yes, there should have been some punishment, but what can be done to repair the relationship? What is justice? Justice is more than just revenge. It is more than just simply punishment. Justice is trying to set things the way they were supposed to be. In the best scenario, that's what our judicialism is all about as well. It's about trying to set things right. Isn't that what we're hoping for? So we have the Lady Justice with the blindfold on and the scales held up so that everything's even. But sometimes we need to know what's going on, what's happening. And we need to see what's taking place. One of, I think, the great things that's happened in our country in the last couple of decades are the drug courts that have come up. The drug courts are places where people who have done nonviolent drug convictions are able to work some things. Rather than going to prison, they go into the drug court. The drug court monitors them. They go through a program. They support them. They encourage them to be able to get through this time to come out and repair their lives and their relationships. The whole idea is this. And you don't just simply take anybody. People need to have met certain criteria to go into the drug court. But the whole idea is to repair things, is to look to the future in a way in which things can be better than they were. They can be back the way they were intended to be. And that was the whole purpose of that. And as we look at this and read the passages in Noah, we see the world was filled with violence and corruption. One of the things in the Noah movie, I think, shows very well the destruction, the two divergent paths that people went on. Those that were bent on, I'm right, might makes right, and bullying, and here's what it is, and I'm going to do what I want to do, versus the people of Noah's family and generation of caring and respecting one another in creation. And so we look and see all that had happened, and we can look at our world today and say, is it that much different? Where is there injustice? Where is there corruption? How many of us would love to kind of push a button and set things back the way they were? Back the way they should have been? And this is what the story of Noah is all about. It's about trying to set things back the way they were intended to be. The whole reason for saving the animals, for Noah and his family, Noah who was considered a righteous man in God's eyes, was to start all over again, to bring things back, to set things forward, to do it the way it was intended, to try and bring back the original idea of creation and hope and justice in the midst of the chaos, the pain, the hurt, the sin, the destruction, the hatred, the prejudice. All that was sitting in the world, that was ruling the world. There are several rabbis in not just recently, but in the ancient writings that look at the story of Noah, and a couple of the comments were that God was only doing what people were about to do anyway. It was going along a path that was so destructive and so violent, they were going to annihilate themselves anyway, and so God just simply did what humanity was already doing to itself. In a sense, that was the judgment. This is what you want, then this is what you get. But in the process, God also ensured that there would be life to go forward. Another thing I want to think about as we look at this story is the difference between our Judeo-Christian God and the other gods, the pagan gods of that time. You look back at almost any of the cultures, and the gods were fickle, if you will. You know, we use those words. They played with the human beings. They loved them. They hated them. They sent them trials and tribulations. They did all sorts of things, punished them. That's the typical view of God. And when we look at the story of Noah, we begin to think, is that the same way that our God is? But we also have to remember that in the process of this story, that our God is, if it's trying to set things back the way it was in creation and beginning, God provides a way out. God provides a way to begin again. And remember the end of the story. The end of the story is the rainbow. And God's saying, I will never again destroy people in the earth like this through a flood. So in a sense, it's setting Yahweh, it's setting the God of creation apart from all the false gods that send storms, that send droughts, that send plagues, just simply because they want to make life difficult for human beings, to use them as play toys and playthings. Our God has said, this is not who I am. I am different. So even back with this ancient story, shows that the God of creation is different than the gods we make up in our own minds, in our own cultures, in our own ways. Remember that this story is more than just simply a story of animals, but it's a story of injustice, of cruelty. It's a story of looking at the world for what it is, all the barrenness, the cruelty, and saying, how can we change that? How can that be rectified? What is the hope? Where can that be different? How can we put it back the way it was intended, where there's respect, where there is care for nature, care for one another? And this tells us we do that through God, through our Creator, through the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Noah, through Jesus Christ. It's through that God that we work to transform not just ourselves, but the world. This story is a story not of disaster, not of destruction, but of hope, of recreating, of being born again. And that's partly why in our baptism we talk about the flood, the whole idea of taking the old and letting it die, letting it pass away. The idea in our baptism is, as we become Christians, the idea is that what is sinful in us is put to death. And it takes a while for us. It isn't as if we're perfect and we don't ever sin again, but we allow that Spirit of God to come and dwell in us, to continue to work with us to each day, hopefully, each day, each hour, to push aside all that calls us away from God, all that would cause us to hate or to do what is wrong. We push that aside to change us and transform us to live the way God intended. And so it's no accident that we refer to Noah and the story of the flood in our baptism into new life with hope and grace. And we remember that and we celebrate that each and every day. Amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.